I'd like to address each one of you now. Today is a wonderful day, isn't it, for us? It's a great encouragement to see so many people, so many friends, family members. Thank you for coming. Thank you for supporting Josh in this. And this is a day where Josh really is publicly nailing his colours to the mask. He's not just going through a ceremony. He's not just doing something that Christians do. He's not just doing what his mum and dad want him to do. No, this is Josh's free decision. Josh has decided before his friends and family members to go through the waters of baptism because he wants to say that Jesus Christ is his Lord and his Saviour, his personal Lord and his personal Saviour. Jesus Christ has rescued him from his sin. And so when he goes down into the waters, it's like a burial. And when he comes out of the waters, it's like a resurrection. We're being reminded that Josh has died with Christ and he's risen again with Christ and he has a new life in Jesus Christ. Now, there once was a very sick man, and Jesus asked him a question: do you want to get well? Now, that might seem a strange question, but in one sense, Josh has been hearing that message right from a toddler in Sunday school, right through to his teenage years, where he's had Bible studies with some of the members of this church, right through the time when he's been sitting in church on Sunday and hearing messages, when he's gone on camps, when he's been at special meetings on a Friday with Alan and friends. He's been hearing a message: Josh, do you want to be made well? From his early days, maybe Josh was a bit confused about this. Maybe it didn't make much sense to him. Maybe he switched off and it wasn't a message that he really wanted to listen to. And for the man that Jesus asked the question to in the Bible, when he was speaking about physically getting better, the man didn't really understand what Jesus was talking about. And then the man obeyed Jesus' word. And when he obeyed Jesus' word, this man was completely made well. Now, we've been decorating at home, and we've been spending hours and hours and hours, well, mainly my wife, peeling off wallpaper. And underneath one layer of wallpaper, there's another layer of wallpaper. And underneath that layer of wallpaper, there's another layer of wallpaper. And underneath that, there's a very hard coat of paint, and it has all sorts of bubbles. It almost feels like wallpaper. And we've been scraping away until we get back to the bare plaster. We're not quite there yet. And I think, and I'm absolutely convinced of this, that far more work will have been done in the preparation for the walls than the person who comes along to skims and then we get it painted. A lot more work will be done in the preparation. And sometimes it's like that when you become a Christian. A lot of work has to be done upon you before you're yet made new. Sometimes there are all sorts of layers of resistance, doubts that you have. Sometimes it's just that you're indifferent, you're not interested. When my wife said to me, come on, Andrew, we need to do the hall stair and landings, I wasn't interested. I thought it was fine for me. And sometimes it's like that, isn't it? In church, people are there, they're there in church, but the real message, they're not really interested in that. We like friends, we like singing, we like a cup of coffee. Some people like the religious routine, but the actual message that you're a sinner and that you need to come to Christ and confess your sin and repent and believe that he died for you and yield your life to him, for many people, that's a switch off. And there can be many layers of resistance that need to be dealt with. And we need to come to the point where we're, as it were, naked before God. We're just that bare plaster wall. We realize that in ourselves there's no goodness. There's no righteousness. God has stripped all that away. And then we yield to God. And I believe that happened to Josh, and Josh is going to tell his testimony of how he became a Christian. It was a little by little, but he came to that point of saying, there's no good in me. All the good is found in Jesus Christ. And Jesus made him new. But then you're asking, why baptism? As a church, we would say very plainly to you that Baptism does not wash away sin. Baptism does not forgive a person. Baptism is purely symbolic. It's a symbol of what has already happened to a person. Their sins have already been forgiven and washed away. But why baptism? Why all this water? What's it all about? Well, I want to briefly take you to the baptism of Jesus. And that will help us to understand a little bit about what baptism's all about. Do you remember John the Baptist? He was baptizing in the River Jordan. And he'd been preaching. And he was an unusual man. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets, the beginning of the New Testament preachers. And he wore unusual clothes, camel skin, had a leather belt, and he had an unusual diet. He ate locusts and wild honey. And there he was, an unusual figure out in the desert. But strangely, people were drawn to him and were drawn to his message. And he was very plain with people. He told them, if you're going to be baptized by me, there can be no hypocrisy whatsoever. You've got to understand what you're doing. John's baptism was called a baptism of repentance. He was basically saying to all these religious people, and particularly to the religious leaders, if you want to be baptized, you've got to be serious. You've got to really acknowledge that you're sinners. And he spoke into different strata of society, as he would today if he was here, and as we ought to. You see, there were wealthy people, greedy people, who weren't prepared to share. I wonder, is that you, or is that me, or is that many in our society? Greed. And John simply said to those, well, if you've got two, give to him who has none. Give one to the person who has nothing. He says, if you're going to be baptized, don't just go through with it in these waters. There needs to be a change in your life. You need to bear fruits worthy of repentance. There were those who were dishonest and corrupt. Think of the corruption that's in our society. And think of the message that the church needs to bring. But corruption's in all of our hearts, deceit's in all of our hearts. And John would say to the tax collectors, you've been fraudulent. You've been cheating on people. If you're going to get baptized, you must no longer cheat people. There are others that he spoke to. He's calling them to sincerity. He said to the soldiers, there were people who were brutal, and today there are people who are brutal in our society. And they were discontent men, and he said to the soldiers, you must be content with your salaries, and you must no longer mistreat the prisoners. He was prepared to speak to every layer of society, the king, Herod. He spoke to him. He ended up in prison because of him, and he ended up losing his life. He was beheaded, really, as a result, first of all, of standing up against Herod. He said to Herod, it's wrong. You've taken your brother's wife. You can't just steal somebody else's wife and your own brother. Just, you can't manipulate things. You can't use power for your own ends. You're an immoral man. He spoke to him plainly. Wonder what's the message that we need to give today. But you know, above all, John wasn't just saying, sort your lives out. He knew that that wasn't enough. He knew that people had to look to Jesus. He forever said, behold the Lamb of God. He said, I might baptize with water, but that's all I can do. You can confess your sins, but I cannot baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I cannot transform your lives. Only Jesus Christ can baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. He called the religious elite brood of vipers. He didn't mince his words. He called them to repent before God. But he also called them to have faith in Jesus Christ. That was John's ministry. But then Jesus comes to be baptized by John. And you ask, why? Why would the Lord Jesus Christ be baptized? Here's these religious people, tax collectors, and sinners, and all sorts, soldiers who've badly treated people, all sorts of layers of society are coming out to be baptized. All Jerusalem and Judea are going out to the River Jordan to be baptized. But why on earth would Jesus Christ be baptized? There was no corruption in Jesus. There's no immorality in Jesus. There was no cheating in Jesus. There was no falsehood in Jesus. John would say, I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. He's greater than me. He said Jesus was before me. He was saying Jesus is eternal. And so when Jesus comes to John to be baptized, we read this. John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? John couldn't understand it. Here's the sinless Son of God. Why on earth would he, who has no sin, why would he be baptized? Well, first of all, we need to say this. He was identifying with sinners. Now, this is glorious. He was saying this, I'm going to become the sin bearer. And so what I'm doing, I'm stepping into your world. And this was the beginning of his ministry. It was symbolic what he was doing. He was saying, I'm coming to bear the sin of many. And so I'm going into the same rivers that sinners go into. He was humbling himself. He said to John, permit it to be so now, for it is fitting that we fulfill all righteousness. I'm at the beginning of my mission. My mission of 3 years, while I teach and preach, while I show men and women who I am, and where I'll go to a cruel cross to die for sinners. And I've come to be the sin bearer, to bear the sins of many at that cross. I've come to fulfill all righteousness. This is the plan of God. I'm the sinless one, and I must obey all the dictates of my Father in heaven. And I've come to go to a cross for sinners. Now, I wonder if you understood that Jesus is the friend of sinners. This is the most wonderful truth in the world that you could ever know. Do you feel yourself to be a sinner? I feel keenly that I'm a sinner. I know how much I sin. I don't know how much I sin. I feel terrible about my sin so often. Do you? Yet I have a friend who identifies with sinners. I was reading this week of a man called John Goldstein. He was brought up in a Jewish family, very dedicated, would read from the Torah, learn the Hebrew scriptures off by heart, pray with his family. But then one day he met a man, began to tell him about Jesus Christ. He learned from his Jewish religion that Jesus was a blasphemer, that Jesus was an ignorant man, that Jesus could not be followed. Well, this man told him of Jesus, and he began to read the Bible. He began to see that Jesus was just the person he needed, the Son of God who came to save him from his sin. And he bowed the knee. He told his family kicked him out. He could no longer stay in his family. Heard another man this week. He was brought up in a Mormon family. His family went to Utah, 99% Mormon. His mum, she taught at Brigham Young University, a place where all Mormons go who have any ability. His brothers were high up in the Mormon faith. His father was a high priest in Mormonism. This young man, he was sent on 2 years of mission work to Orlando. He began knocking on many people's doors. He had his little badge, elder. He had his suit with black and then a white shirt. And zealously went round. He really believed what he believed. And then he came across a pastor. He believed that he would convert him and his whole congregation. Well, he sat down with that pastor, went into his home. The man unfolded the message of Jesus Christ. He was very angry. He went out of that meeting frustrated and angry, and the pastor just said to him, well, just read the New Testament as a little child. That's all I ask you. Just read it as a little child. Without any prejudice, just open-minded, totally open-minded. He pored over the New Testament scriptures, and as he read, He fell in love with his one who is the saviour of sinners, the friend of sinners. He became a Christian. He was nearing the end of those 2 years of mission. So what did he do? Well, they have a debrief session where they have to stand up and tell what they've learnt. He stood up in front of all his Mormon colleagues and preached Jesus Christ. Them told them what Jesus had done for him. The elders met with him, told him that he had to leave Mormonism, that he was a black sheep. That was the end of it for him. Had a girlfriend, he'd been praying for her. Wonderfully, she became transformed. He went back to his family, wondering what would happen. God had done such a work in this young man that his mum became a Christian. His father became his Christian. Two of his siblings became Christians. And it wasn't a matter of switching religion. It wasn't that. It wasn't just it was this. I have found Jesus Christ for myself as my Lord. I've seen that he identifies with sinners like me. I need a saviour. I need one who'll rescue me, who'll forgive me. And I see that only Jesus is the one who's done that. And he went to his Mormon friends and said, it's no longer about rules. It's no longer about following laws. It's no longer about just the rituals of the Mormon faith. It's all about Jesus. And that's what Josh is going to be doing today as he goes into the waters of baptism. He's baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's saying, it's all about Jesus. He's saved me. If you know the baptism of Jesus, he was identifying with sinners, but it was also a prophetic act. You see, what he was doing was a prediction, really, or a foretelling of what he'd come to do. He'd come to die upon a cross and to be buried in a tomb and to be raised again on the third day. That was God's plan from all eternity. And so at the beginning of his ministry, he goes into water. And we read in the Bible that in the Jordan there was much water. The Bible emphasizes that. And he was going to go down into the water and be submerged under the water. It was an immersion. Because Jesus Christ was showing that he'd come to die for sinners and to be buried. He was going under the water. And then he was coming out of the water and he'd be raised from the dead. That's what baptism is about. It's a symbol of death, burial, and resurrection. See, Jesus, when he was upon the earth, he spoke of his own death as a baptism. Once there were two disciples who felt they deserved elevated positions in heaven, and Jesus said to them, are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I am about to be baptized with? Jesus was speaking about his death. He's saying to them, are you able to take this cup of suffering? Are you able to be immersed and baptized in the baptism of death that I'm going to suffer? And so his water baptism was prophetic of what he had come to do. If I was to ask you, what is Christianity all about? Well, some of you say, well, it's about being good, keeping the Ten Commandments and believing in God. And believing Jesus was a good person, is that your view of Christianity? Well, if you've got that view of Christianity, which is a popular view, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that Christianity is, first of all, a recognition that we cannot be good. We cannot be good to please God. All of our righteousness is like filthy rags. Christianity is about a holy God who hates sin but loves sinners. And he loves sinners so much that he sent his Son into the world to bear the sin of many. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish and go to hell, but have everlasting life. That's the message of Christianity, believing in the Son of God, Jesus, and having everlasting life. So as Josh comes comes forward and goes into this water. He's saying, I've been buried with Christ. I died with him. I'm united to him in his death. I've been buried with him because my life is yielded to him and he died for me. And I've been raised together with him. That's what his baptism is declaring. So we've said the baptism of Jesus was this. First of all, an identification with sinners. Secondly, a prophetic word speaking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. But also, it's a picture of cleansing a new life, that which Jesus would do for sinners. You see, water symbolizes the washing away. It symbolizes cleansing. It symbolizes the giving of life. Once Jesus was approached by a very religious man at night, Nicodemus. This man outwardly was a very good man, a very upright man, but he was a sinner. And Jesus understood, like every other person, this person, though he was upright, he had an unclean heart. And Jesus said to him, you know, it doesn't matter what your pedigree is. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your ancestry is. It doesn't matter what your education or your schooling is. It doesn't matter. Jesus said to him this, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He said to this religious man, you'll never enter into God's kingdom, never. No matter how much you fast or how much you tithe or how much you practice religion, even according to the Old Testament, in terms of the laws, no matter what you do, you'll never, ever, ever enter into God's kingdom. You'll never be in heaven, ever. Unless you are born of water and the Spirit. Now, what did that mean, water? Jesus there wasn't speaking of baptism. Jesus was speaking of the washing of the Word of God. He was saying that your problem is you have an unclean heart. And you need the Word of God to come into your life. You need to hear God speaking to you through the pages of the Bible and through my Word. And you need that Word to penetrate you and show you're a sinner. You need to trust in me and you need to be washed on the inside. And the Spirit of God needs to come and live in your life. You need to be born of water and the Spirit. And then Jesus met another person, this time a lady. He met a religious man, but let's speak about a woman. This woman had been ostracized by her society. She had many relationships. She was in her sixth now. Every relationship had broken up, and the people in her village, they weren't too happy with her. They were a religious group, Samaritan, so she had to go to the well by herself. The other woman wouldn't go with her. After all, probably she'd broken up and hurt many families with all these relationships breaking down. And they lived in a close-knit community. She had many mothers-in-law or fathers-in-law who were angry with her, upset with her, we imagine. So Jesus comes to her, and Jesus sees all her need. He knows that she's empty. He knows that nothing has satisfied her. And so he says to her, he's by a well, and he says, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. They're beside a well of water, but Jesus says, I've got some living water to give you. And if you drink of this living water, you will have everlasting life. And this living water, the water of the Holy Spirit, will be in you, will bubble up within you. It will be a fountain that will overflow in your life. I have come to give life and life in all of its fullness, life abundantly, freely. Isn't that glorious? If you messed up your life. She'd messed up her life, yet Jesus was offering to her full and total satisfaction of all the needs of her soul. Have you come to Jesus? Have you found him as your all in all? And then lastly, why else was Jesus baptized? Well, it was an act of humble obedience. Yes, it was an identification with sinners. Yes, it was prophetic, showing that he would die and rise again. Yes, it was symbolizing what he'd come to do, to wash sinners of their sin and to give them new life. But it was also an act of humble obedience. He'd come to fulfill all righteousness. He was the giver of the law, but he put himself under the law, prepared to obey whatever his Father commanded him to do. And he was going to offer up a perfect life of obedience upon the cross. And that's why Josh is going to be baptized. It's an act of obedience. It's not an option. Maybe there's some people here who've been putting off baptism. You're a real Christian, but you've been putting it off. Some people say, well, it was so long ago that I became a Christian. It doesn't make sense now. Well, Jesus, he was 30 years old. It's not about the timing so much. It's about the baptism. It's about obedience to what Christ has commanded. Are you prepared to humble yourself? What will Josh gain from this baptism? We've said it's symbolic, but what will he gain? He will gain the witness of a good conscience. That's what he'll gain. He'll come through the waters and God will confirm him. He's done what is right in the sight of God. It's a means of grace. There's only two ordinances that Jesus gave: baptism and communion, the Lord's Supper. And God will strengthen him through this. You know, the baptism of Jesus was very unique, wasn't it? The baptism of Jesus, in one sense, was totally different to any of our baptisms. He was the captain, and he was going through, and he's saying, my troops, you ought to follow on. I'm not calling you to do anything that I'm not doing. And if Jesus has been baptized and humbled himself, and what a humble act that was, to identify with sinners. John didn't want to baptize him. If Jesus were prepared to humble himself, we ought to follow in this act of baptism. But for Jesus, there was something remarkable and glorious that happened, because when he was baptized, the very Spirit of God came from heaven like a dove and alighted upon him. And then the very heavens opened, and a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased. And that's different, isn't it? And that's glorious. The baptism of Jesus is like no other baptism. It shows us who he is. You see, sometimes in the church, we baptize people, but they've never been born again. They've never been changed. We thought it. We can't see into the heart, you see. We can't really know who's a real Christian. It's by their fruits. And some people have gone through the waters of baptism, and then two or three years later, or later in their life, they're out in the world. No interest in Christianity. No interest in God. You see, for them, they were not born again. They never had a change on the inside. But for Jesus, God would say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now our prayer is that every person who goes through the waters of baptism continues on in the faith, trusting in Jesus. But for you this morning, maybe this is all new to you. Maybe you haven't heard this before. Remember that you have a soul that's going to meet God. Remember that you're going to die and you're going to face God. Not one of us here can stand in the presence of God without being clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, without having his forgiveness. Not one of us. So I'd say to you, believe in this friend of sinners, trust in him, and may you be clothed in his righteousness.